The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hello, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. NMSS grant supports work into Epstein-Barr virus as MS trigger. A National Multiple Sclerosis Society grant is supporting an Australian-led research team aiming to better understand how Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV, may be acting as a trigger for multiple sclerosis. The funding will particularly be used to understand what molecules are being targeted by lymphocytes, immune cells that cause damage in the nervous system. The researchers aim to determine whether the targeted molecules are naturally occurring or if the immune system is targeting molecules from the virus that resemble those found in the body, leading to a misguided immune attack. The project was led by Alan Carmody, MD, head of the Demyelinating Disease Research Group at the Perrone Institute and Murdoch University's Center for Molecular Medicine and Innovative Therapeutics, both in Western Australia. Recent studies support an Epstein-Barr virus role in MS. This effort will be a national and international collaboration, also involving researchers from the Harry Perkins Institute, Murdoch University, University of Sydney, and the biotech company Biotome, all of Australia, as well as those at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, Tennessee. The very welcome funding from the National Multiple Sclerosis Society will be used to explore the connection between MS and Epstein-Barr virus, Carmody said in a Perrone Institute press release. EBV is a common virus that spreads via saliva or other bodily fluids and can cause infectious mononucleosis, also known simply as mono. After an infection, the virus remains in the body, where it lays in a dormant state throughout life. The potential link between EBV and MS is not new, but a study published earlier this year showed that infection with this virus strongly contributes to developing the disease later in life, raising the risk of MS by 32 times. Another study suggested a possible mechanism for this link, showing that antibodies designed to target and fight off the virus could also bind to and attack a protein in the brain. As evidence indicating a causal link grows stronger, research interest is turning toward potential treatments. But more work is needed to understand the mechanisms through which EBV may act in MS. New technological advancements are allowing us to work towards identifying the cause or causes of MS, and the information we discover will help us develop new, more effective treatments, Carmody said. Lymphocytes, a type of white blood cell, help the immune system in remembering every foreign virus or other foreign intruders it comes into contact with and in mounting a response against them. The blood-brain barrier, a highly selective and protective membrane, normally shields the central nervous system from lymphocytes and other threats trying to enter. In MS, however, lymphocytes enter the central nervous system and it is thought they attack self-antigens, cellular proteins, in the brain, mistaking them for the Epstein-Barr virus, Grimaldi said. Scientists don't know that exact nature of these proteins, so the Australian-led team will examine brain tissue samples collected post-mortem from individuals with MS and study the lymphocytes found in close proximity to regions of brain damage. The aim, Grimaldi said, will be to determine whether the antigens the lymphocytes are targeting are in fact self-antigens or foreign intruders. Researchers will also screen people recently diagnosed with MS to determine whether we can see these lymphocytes in the blood before they go into the central nervous system, he added. Joining Carmody on the project will be Mardina Fabus-Pedroni, Ph.D., who coordinates MS research at the Perrone Institute and CMMIT, and the postdoctoral scientist Belinda Kaskow, Ph.D. and Ph.D. student Xiaonan Zong, both with the Institute. The project also received funding from Western Australia's iWall Foundation, which supports research into neurological diseases. This news article was written by Margarita Maya on November 8, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. The MS Wire, a column by Ed Tobias, published on November 7, 2022. MS News Notes, Stem Cell Transplant versus DMTs, Treatment Efficacy, Cancer Risk, Employment. Welcome to MS News Notes, where I comment on multiple sclerosis news stories that caught my eye last week. The articles in today's column came from the annual Congress of the European Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, or ECTRIMS, held October 26-28 in Amsterdam. Most of them deal with disease-modifying therapies. Stem cell transplant, or DMT. In Analyses Weigh Stem Cell Transplant versus DMTs, MS News Today's Marta Figueredo, Ph.D., discusses an analysis that compared autologous hematopoietic stem cell transplants, or AHSCT, with high-efficacy DMTs in patients with relapsing remitting MS, secondary progressive, or primary progressive MS. In the study, 144 patients given stem cell transplants were compared with 769 patients on Gilenya. Also, 146 patients who received AHSCT were matched with 730 patients treated with Tysabri, and 110 patients in the AHSCT group were matched with 344 patients given ocrelizumab. The results depends on the DMT and the patient's particular stage of MS. Autologous hematopoietic stem cell transplant is superior to Gilenya and Tysabri at preventing relapses and reducing disability in people with highly active RRMS. In turn, AHSCT appears to be as effective as Ocrevus in RRMS patients and also was not superior to Tysabri in people with progressive MS. How long are DMTs effective? Over the years, research has shown that DMTs can help lessen the frequency of MS relapses. Some DMTs also slow disease progression. But does a time eventually come when disability progression continues no matter what? The MS News Today story, DMTs Ease SPMS Disability Early, But Not Over Time, by Lindsay Shapiro, Ph.D., reports on an analysis of more than 10,000 people in Europe with MS. This study is of particular interest to me, as I've been living with MS for over 4 decades, and have been treated with 4 DMTs. Have these DMTs slowed my MS progression? I do think so. Have they stopped it? Nope. Would I be worse if I hadn't been treated with the DMTs? I really don't know. Early use of DMTs among people with SPMS may lead to overall lower levels of disability, according to a new analysis. But staying on treatment does not appear to significantly lower disability progression over time. DMTs and cervical cancer risk. All of us with MS know that choosing an MS treatment requires balancing possible risks with potential rewards. This is especially true with high-efficacy DMTs. One of these risks is discussed in High-Efficacy DMTs Linked to Cervical Lesion Risk. In findings presented at ECTRIMS, researchers suggest this may be due to the moderation of the immune system that results from treatment with these DMTs, making women more susceptible to infection with human papillomavirus, or HPV, and strains of HPV can lead to cervical cancer. Exposure to high-efficacy disease-modifying therapies is associated with an increased risk of cervical abnormalities in women with multiple sclerosis, recent data suggest. The findings are consistent with previous reports showing these treatments may raise the risk of certain cancers, likely as a consequence of their immune-modulating effects. Holding a job may get harder. It's not always the case, but as the story, job prospects can slowly take a hit after CIS diagnosis, notes. It can be hard to keep a job when you have MS symptoms, such as cognition fog and fatigue. I regularly read on MS social media groups about people who lose their jobs because of too many absences, who can't take the stress, or who need to take frequent breaks due to their MS. Understanding the many dimensions of this disease, researchers say, is important to developing work retention programs for people with MS. In the years after a diagnosis of clinically isolated syndrome, a first episode of neurological symptoms suggestive of multiple sclerosis, the odds of maintaining employment progressively decrease. According to a recent study, the risk of decreasing or losing employment was particularly high among individuals who later transitioned to a clinical diagnosis of MS, and among women and people who experienced more relapses or greater disability. To read more columns from Ed Tobias and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel and never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.